Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Economics and the Spiritual Path, hosted by David Axelrod with guidance from DAX. Each show expands on the language, ideas, and insights from economic thought that can empower and enlighten the journey through your inner environment toward healing, creativity, and spiritual expression.
If you'd like to call in, the number is 646-564-9714. Again, that's 646-564-9714. Okay. I hope to be joined a little later by Tema Ehrenfeld, a writer who has written on a wide range of topics, and including some aspects of economics and health, and she has a very pragmatic view, which can be very interesting when you're talking about spirituality, or at least psychology. So hopefully we'll be hearing from her a little later. So for tonight, what are we going to talk about? Well, I'm going to rearrange the schedule just a little bit, to go into something in a direction that we can maybe get the benefit and enjoyment from her perspectives. So what are we going to focus on tonight? Well, we're going to talk about the what, how, and why we choose affects our experience of well-being. Let me say that again. What, how, and why we choose affects our experience of well-being. All right, so what do I mean by that? Well, what we choose, that is the particular object or material thing or relationship or belief. That's the object of the choice, that which is sort of outside of us as a decision maker. Now, how we choose? Well, that gets into things like, do we make choices emotionally? Do we make choices rationally? You can even talk about making choices physically, and the example being, of course, reflexive responses to stimulus. That is pretty much the essence of making a choice with our physical bodies as compared to the emotional or the rational or the spiritual. And then the why we choose. And that why we choose can be a very interesting place to explore. So when we talk about why we choose, in part we can talk about why is it that I chose chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla ice cream for dessert. And you can get into, maybe like chocolate better than vanilla. Simple as that. Or you can get into maybe there's an allergic reaction to vanilla. Or you're trying something a little bit different. So that why kind of gets at, the satisfaction from it, from an external perspective, in the sense of it's a quality or attribute of that which we have chosen that is the reason why. On the other hand, the why we choose can also fall back on, it's not that thing at all. It has more to do with our preference to see ourselves in a certain way or to express ourselves in a certain way. So there, it's only indirectly the object, and more directly, it's about who we want to be. And, of course, you can go back to Maslow, psychologist, and he talked about the hierarchy of being and how, in terms of, you can talk about behavior or cognition, but basically the idea that, for lack of a better word, our higher selves come into play only after our lower selves are satisfied. What does that mean? Well, at the lowest level of being is just pure survival. So even before we can be concerned about getting an education or expressing ourselves artistically, or whether we want to be a nice person or we want to be a tough person, all of that, before you can get to any of that, you just have to deal with survival. And so when you're at the survival level, it is about just getting the basic resources to continue to exist. And if your drive to survive is strong enough, then pretty much, you will do anything in order to survive. And, that can come across looking pretty tough. But if it's at the level of survival, there's really not much, much argument there. And so, after you've satiated the survival need, then you can move up, as you would say, that hierarchy of being and start looking to satisfy other aspects of yourself. And what you can imagine is that you build it at the layer of survival, and then it moves up, expanding out from the needs of survival and protection, maybe ego development, until you get into the more empathic, sympathetic concerns for others, or almost getting to altruism. So one of the challenges there, it certainly can occur at the unconscious level, is the triggering of, which hierarchy is going to be expressed in a moment, and really gets to how much of what drives us occurs at the unconscious level even decisions about being driven by our higher nature. And in some sense, it's got a really fundamental, deep grounding, which we're not always aware of. So how does this then tie into this whole theme of economics and the spiritual path? Well, if we understand the spiritual path, we understand the spiritual path in a couple of ways. One is choosing behaviors and ways of being that seem to express our highest spiritual self. That's one way to understand it. But another way of understanding being on the spiritual path is just the process of discovering who your spirit is. So, you know, for those who enter on that journey, it may not be clear who they're about. And to the extent that they're not clear who they're about, then it's a process of discovery. And part of that can be uncovered when we start stripping away the endogenous constraints. And for those who maybe are not familiar with the terminology we've used before, that's sort of the commitments, the disciplines, the morals that narrow what's acceptable to choose. And so if you're on a spiritual path in terms of spiritual discovery, one of the things that we can look for is how our behavior changes as we allow ourselves to have less limits. So the idea being, discovering, what drives you when, you're faced with a situation that all of a sudden you get a huge amount of money that comes into your life. Who are you now? Okay? So not just what is it that you choose, but how does your priorities and your desires change? I mean, first of all, do they change? And second of all, if they do change, how do they change? So that's kind of one approach, is the pulling away of the, you should or you shouldn't do this thing. And that is one journey of spiritual work that I've seen people take that approach, is just, unlimiting themselves. And it may be as simple as just allowing themselves to imagine, well, if all of a sudden you could do whatever you want to do, what would you do? So that's one way to try to ascertain the essence of your spirit. Allow yourself to imagine that you are completely powerful. And whatever it is that you want to do would happen. What would you choose? So that's one form of spiritual path. Another form of spiritual path is not so much a discovery, but invention. So in that kind of spiritual work, you may have in your head where you want to end up spiritually. And so now you're going to do typically work in the material world that will enable you to shape the spirit that is driving you. And you know, where this can show up is just the opposite, where you giving away affluence and abundance. And so instead of imagining what it is that you would do, you narrow the scope of what you can achieve. You narrow the scope of the resources that you have, and confront what it is currently animating you. And in the process of not being able to do what you want, adapting to the difficulties of life so as to bend and burnish the type of spirit that you want to be embodying. And remember, this gets back to that whole spectrum of realms of experience and decision making, that notion that at the physical level, that's making a decision over a very short period of time and focused on a very short period of time, and that making choice from an emotional framework is a little bit wider in time, but still pretty short run. And only until you start making decisions with a substantial amount of time where you can really reflect and consider consequences, do we make choices from a rational perspective. As we take resources away from ourselves, we challenge ourselves to make choices from, in some ways, an ever narrower capacity. Now, of course, it depends on what kind of resources you're taking away. If you're taking away lots of material resources, well, obviously, you're not going to be making choices about, you know, you're going to have a Lamborghini or a Tesla. You're not going to make a decision about, well, you're going to have a six-bedroom house or a seven-bedroom house, right? So you're taking that out. So the path of spiritual invention then can show up in making decisions when you have very little resources. And when you're dealing with those lower hierarchies, the real difficulties of life, then you're literally forcing your body to have to act in a way that gets at the value of survival, and you're modifying your body so that it will more narrowly express the spirit that you want. Now, that can also show up in a number of ways. Like, for example, if you're a musician and you spend a lot of time practicing, and that's what you do, that's like lots and lots of time. What's happening is, yes, you're building up the muscles in your finger, so you have more dexterity. If you're practicing compositions, you're creating the muscle memory that will make it easier to perform. But what does all that mean? It means you're structuring your body so that it will choose in a certain way when the time comes. That you don't have to be thinking about what's going on with your fingers. You don't have to try to recall what's the next note. It's already embedded in your wiring. And so you're literally changing how you make choices at the physical level. It's the same thing athletes do, practicing a lot. Or actors, actresses rehearsing. It's about, you know, getting it into in a physical way. So that's an important distinction there between a spiritual journey of discovery and a spiritual journey of invention. That also brings up some other questions and insights, and that is, whereas when we have a very, we kind of like, you know, decide that we're going to do some kind of a spiritual journey that might be associated with, you know, taking some time off from work, or, you know, maybe after having, losing a job or having a business fail, and having a need to kind of reassess and figure out where you're going, those are types of spiritual work. Part of it is getting at, you know, what your priorities are, what's important. And so if you actually, you know, choose to go away for a month, let's say, to an ashram or a retreat or something like that, that is intended to do some kind of spiritual work. And so that's kind of done in a conscious way. But that doesn't mean that work on a spiritual path is always going to be done in a conscious way. So, for example, like I said, if you lose your job, you may not intend to do spiritual work after that. Your intention might be to just find a job as soon as you can. But in the process of dealing with either having no or little income, if you have a family, dealing with the emotional challenges of being a breadwinner and having these responsibilities, you know, kind of working through not just the emotions, but how you express yourself emotionally. And that's why, you know, sometimes people who do go through hard times, yet sometimes they just come out and they're, you know, really ragged, and you know, they can be bitter, and, you know, that's it. They're just kind of tough to deal with. But sometimes people who go through a tough time, if they have that deep spirituality that calls to still be grateful for life, they get to practice and embed that in their brain. The choosing of gratitude in the midst of poverty. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they chose to have poverty in their lives, but when it shows up, it's taken as an opportunity. And then, other people, if they've had a lot of material abundance, might never be challenged unintentionally to do spiritual work. And they would have to actually go out of their way to go on some kind of spiritual journey. They would actually have to go out of their way to create a situation where their physical abundance, their material abundance, is not available so that they can experience what that's about. And you know, for some people, they never choose to do that. You know, there's a lot of fun stuff to do in life. It's got a lot of resources. Or maybe, you know, their focus is on business success. In which case, that is their spirituality. Right? Profit making is a spiritual drive. Now, for most people, we don't normally associate that way. But for those who have been listening to this show, there's a recognition that your preferences, or what economists call your preferences, it is your spirit. And so for a business, their preference is to make more money. That's their spirit. And that can also explain why, you know, there's a certain satisfaction that's derived from making money because now you can buy more stuff. But for some people, making a profit is a very joyous experience. It's it gets associated with a sense of fulfillment. You've achieved something. You've achieved something that's desirable. That's what makes some of this interesting. Because for those people who kind of look at making money as something immoral, and that you only do it enough to, you know, get what you need to eat, you know, basic shelter, you know, maybe help other people, but, you know, it's not about accumulating wealth, do not necessarily fully appreciate the fulfillment that some people get from running a profitable business. And if you are the type of person that has that sense of fulfillment from making a profit, then it's not just about the material things you can buy. Okay, so we're about halfway in. Let's take a little musical break, and we'll see if Tamil will be calling in. Thank you.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
We return to Economics and the Spiritual Path, hosted by David Axelrod.
Listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.